of the Word of God. We'll be going to Exodus chapter 27, then we'll be going to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 4. But we'll start in the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 27, verse number 20. Exodus 27, verse 20 says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, and cause the lamp to burn always." Notice that. To cause the lamp to burn always. Now go with me to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, starting with verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli lay down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see." Notice this. "And ere or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel lay down to sleep." Notice in Exodus 27, he said the lamp was to burn always. Now in 1 Samuel 3, we find the lamp beginning to go out in the temple. Now, chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. "And the Philistines fought with Israel, was smitten. And they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. The ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." And I'm going to use tonight for a subject, what happens when the lamp of God is extinguished in the temple? When the lamp of God is extinguished in the temple. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, to let the anointing of God come upon my person. Help me to say all that you want me to say in the manner you want me to say it in. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint their ears to hear what it is the Holy Ghost would say. Father, I pray tonight that you make my words like fire in the people's heart like dry grass. I pray in Jesus' name that I would do no harm or violence to thy word. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight in the house of God. What happens when the lamp is extinguished in the temple of God? Now, some time back, we were conducting a meeting in Missouri, the other side of Rolla, Missouri. We were there for 6 days. Within those 6 days, we saw a great manifestation of the Spirit of God. It's what I would call a Holy Ghost explosion. It was a mighty move of the Spirit. The power of God hit that little church there in the middle of nowhere. It was a little town, no bigger than Pierstown, but the power of God seemed to find its way there to that church. And for 6 days, we saw drug addicts delivered by the power of God. We saw drunkards made sober. It was such a Holy Ghost move of God that the drugs, amen, the drug addicts were coming to that church and bringing their drugs and throwing them at the altar because the power of God set them free. We saw pill addicts set free. We seen meth addicts set free. They left there shouting the praises and the glory of God. It was a Holy Ghost explosion. It was a manifestation of God's Spirit. And church, let me tell you, that is what church is about. It's about a manifestation of the power of God being displayed among the people of God. While we were there in that meeting, there were some people there that had never seen anything like this. They were bodies laying all over the floor. You would have thought, hey man, a cannon went off and slain everybody. You would have to step over people to pray for other people. The slain of the Lord were everywhere.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there was a lady there. She was of the Baptist background. And she had never seen nothing like this. She was 14 years old, been in church, had never seen a move of God in this fashion. Matter of fact, her church kind of preaches against what she's seeing here.
Come on.
There you go.
Well, there was another lady there who was the pastor's daughter. And I was praying for people, and the pastor's daughter asked her, would you like to go get prayer? Well, she was kind of reluctant. I don't know if I want this guy touching me or not, because everybody he's touching is falling. And I don't know if I want what he's got to give, kind of a thing. And you all want to show them there's no electrical device in my hand or in my pocket. This is God. Well, so she said, okay, I walked up to her, and I knew she was reluctant. I could see it on her face. She didn't want me touching her. And I asked her, I said, dear lady, would you care if I pray for you? She said, well, I guess so. And so I lifted my hand up to pray for her, and I never got my hand to her in tears. I never touched her, but tears all of a sudden began to jerk down her face, and she jumped back and said, whoa, 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 what was that? I felt something shoot through me. What was that? Well, go ahead. And I began to explain to her, this was God. This was the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And so I didn't want to press the issue. I just wanted her to go home and meditate on what took place in her heart that night and what she seen. Sometimes we can just be too pushy.
Yes.
And I've come to find out, you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to really vindicate God. You don't have to explain. Just let God show them who He is.
Yes. Amen.
Today we've got too many pushy people in the church.
That's right. Come on.
And I've come to find out, if you're going to fall out in this church, I'm not going to be pushing you. If you hit the floor, it's going to be the Holy Ghost laid you out there to give an operation in your heart.
There you go.
Amen. Amen.
Well, so she went home, meditating on what took place. And so the next service, which was the following night, she came, I preached, and I got up to give the altar call, and people ran forward to receive prayer. The night before, the pastor's daughter was asking this girl, come, let's go get prayer. She was reluctant. But tonight, she was telling the pastor, girl, let's go out. Let's get prayer. Let's see what God's going to do. And so she came up. I prayed for her. The power of God hit her. She hit the floor. And she laid there about 20 minutes praising God and worshiping God. Oh, yes, she's a good Baptist. Laid out on the floor. If she stayed a little longer, I prayed she'd have left Baptist with the power of God sweeping through her heart and through her life. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So she laid there for 25 minutes with the power of God all over her. And after the service, I went up to her. I said, honey, what did you feel when you were on the floor? And she's weeping. She said, I can't explain it. Words, you can't explain it, she said. All I can tell you is this. I've been to church all of my life, and church, for the most part, has been boring. But this, she said, is exciting. She said, all of my life, I kind of dreaded church. But what's going on here makes me want to go to church. Well, glory to God. Oh, let me tell you tonight, change of God, the house of God, going to church and never be a bore. The power of God ought to be moving in such a way that we can't wait to talk. We should never get up on church night and say, my Lord, it's Friday again. It's Sunday morning again. You know what day that is. If I don't go to church, you know the next service I come here, hang me over hell on a rotten cupboard. Church should never be a bore.
That's right.
They should be an excitement in the heart of the saint of God. They should be something there that we, like David said, hallelujah. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because there's power there. That's what church is about. When drunkards are being made sober, prostitutes are made pure, harlots are made holy, and God is showing himself strong among the people of God. That's what church is about. Now, the nation of Israel, at the time of my text, was in a backslidden condition. Eli the high priest had turned his back on God, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were guilty of immoral acts at the doorstep of the temple. The Bible said they were sleeping with women at the gate of the temple. These were sons of the high priest. The Bible says that during this period that the lamp that God placed in the temple was being allowed to go out. Even though God commanded in Exodus that it to be burning continually. Now listen to me. The lamp was a type of the Holy Ghost. It was always to be burning within the temple before the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Samuel 4, Israel had been invaded by the Philistines. It was a time of despair for Israel. 4,000 of God's chosen were slain. The Spirit of God abandoned them. After they were smitten, the very few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4, after they were smitten, they said, "Let's fetch the Ark of God out of the temple and bring it among us. When it comes, it shall save us from the Philistines." Notice what he said. It shall save us from the Philistines. They didn't say God shall save us. They said it. Speaking of that gold-covered box, you see that when that ark came into their camp, the Bible said that the children of Israel, they shouted so loud that the earth rang. They thought victory is ours now. Victory is going to be ours. The ark is here. They had the box, but they didn't have the God of the box. They thought that ark was some kind of magical charm to ward off evil spirits. And God spoke to me the other day when I read that. He said, "Nathan, they had the Ark of the Covenant in their midst. They had all the paraphernalia of church, but they didn't have me." And I'm afraid that's where we are today. We've got all the paraphernalia of the church. We've got everything that we need to conduct a church. We've got pianos. We've got microphones. We've got PA systems. We've got guitars. We've got all the paraphernalia of the church. But we're not seeing a manifestation of the power of God among us anymore. We've got all but the paraphernalia. We sing, we shout, but God's not in our shout. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people shouting. There's a lot of sins being covered up by the term "praise the Lord." A lot of lukewarmness are being covered up by "hallelujah, thank you, Jesus."
Come on.
Because you can say "hallelujah, praise the Lord," doesn't mean your heart's right with God.
That's right.
They had everything, but yet they had nothing. And the Bible said, the ark came, they said, "We're going to win this war now." This time they went to battle, the second time. And the Bible said that they were smitten again by the Philistines. This time, 30,000 were slain. And the ark of God taken. Now tonight, I have three things that I want to bring tonight to you out of this little message. And I believe these 3 points carry a warning for us today. Number one, extinguishing the lamp of God brings death to the world. Extinguishing the lamp of God brings death to the world. The Bible said 30,000 footmen were slaughtered that day. This represents the world. Thousands died because the glory of God departed. And mass slaughter had happened because the power of God was no longer present in their midst. If Israel had still been on fire for God, if the lamp of God is the Christ they see in you and I. We're here to represent God. We're here to show them the nature of God. We're here to show them, amen, what God is, how God acts, how God lives, how God walks. In church, if you're not acting, walking, and living like God, then you are a false representative. Jesus has been in heaven for 2,000 years representing you before the Father. Listen to this. He's been in heaven 2,000 years representing you and I before the Father. He's never, not one time, misrepresented you.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you. And how dare you or me to misrepresent Him to a world that hates Him? We say we're of the Lord. We say we're Christians. But we act no different than the world.
That's right.
We do what worldly people do.
Come on.
We talk like they talk. We commit acts of treason like they do. But yet we say praise the Lord and God's okay with it. No, He's not okay with it. If you belong to God, come out from among the world and be a Christian. Don't you be a hypocrite. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Be ye God or be ye of the devil. One of the two. Hallelujah. But the problem with the church is we've got too many hypocrites masquerading as Christians of light. There's never been one community fail until this church failed. When the light goes out in the temple, listen, the children of Israel were in a dilemma. And I don't blame Israel, the children of Israel, so much as I do the leaders of Israel. See, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, they were the leaders of Israel. The Bible said his eyes grew dim. That means his spiritual vision had grown dim. He was no longer seeing into the realms of God. And I'm afraid tonight that's what's happened today in the church. We've got people today that are no longer seeing into the realms of God. And because of it, people are being dead and dying. There was a man who's out. How many of you ever heard of Gandhi?
Yeah.
He was a little man, small of stature. He went to the University of Britain, got an education. He brought independence to the nation of India. He wrestled India from the British Empire. This one small frail man brought about an impossible result through his act. Through his actions, India became independent. At one time, India, the nation of India, belonged to the British Empire. But Gandhi led a revolution, a revolt. And because of his actions, India became free. He had a desire to free the Indian people. But listen to me. Before Gandhi started on his mission to bring freedom to India, he felt a hunger for God. He wanted to know God. So he began to search for God. He traveled from England to South Africa for a search of a manifestation of that great God. He said he visited church after church looking for God. But he said, when I went into the state churches from England to South Africa, he said, I found nothing but cold, dry, dead services. After several years of searching, he concluded, there is no God in the church. Today, India is mired in a morass of heathen gods. Her population starves in its streets. Her cities are rotting swamps. They build temples over there to rat gods. They worship cows, and demon spirits are revered in India. India sits in outer darkness. If Gandhi would have found the Lord Jesus Christ, India could have been led out of darkness. But that church had failed God. Instead of demonstrating the power of God to Gandhi, it demonstrated a sophisticated, refined worship service Listen to me. Godly walked into the churches for 2 years looking for God, but he found nothing but dead, dryness, and staleness in their midst. He could not find a manifestation of God. Let me say to you, if Godly would have walked in to a Holy Ghost service, amen, where the power of God was being poured out like it was in Missouri, I believe he would have been born again, and the power of God would have hit him. And India, instead of it being steeped in heathenistic hell and bondage of darkness, it could be a Holy Ghost filled nation.
Yes.
But the church filled God. How many drunks have come into our services? How many sinners have come into our services and left the same way, just like Gandhi? They come searching for God. They come looking for heaven. They come looking for the God of the Bible. But they come in, they find nothing but bitter and envy. They find this one bickering about that one talking about this one. And there's no move of God. And they leave the same way Gandhi left, when they're concluding that there is no God among them. Listen to me. That God is dead movement would have never came about if that same bunch hadn't walked into God's house and saw its corpse.
There you go.
Let me say it again. People wouldn't believe God is dead if they hadn't came to the house and saw his corpse. We're the body of Christ. They should come in here and see a living body. They should come here and see a church on fire. They should come in here saying that God's not dead. He's alive. Hey, are you hearing me tonight? God's not dead. We ought to demonstrate to them the lively power of God. That our God's not dead, but he's alive. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Peter, Paul, James, and John. The God that healed the widow's son outside of Nain. The God that raised Lazarus from a dead tomb. The God that saved Nathan Middleton. If Gandhi could have walked into that kind of a service,
that's right.
There you go.
Yeah. He would have been changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But instead, he walked into a dead church. Number two, extinguishing the lamp of God led to the loss of the Ark of God. The Ark of the Covenant represents the glory of God. It is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is our strength. How many of our Pentecostal churches are operating today without the power of God? Shouts of hallelujah no longer ring off the rafters of the church. Listen to me. We are becoming stiff, formal, and cold, and predictable. We have slipped into formalism. The church should never be predictable. It's sad today. You can, hey man, sit outside in your car and say, this is going to happen at this time. That's going to take place at that time. And we're going to be out here at that time. And for the most part, you may be 1 or 2 minutes off, but it's almost right on because we've become predictable. But I'm asking you, where is the church of the living God? Well, you know you start at 7:30, but you don't know what time you're going to get out. Because the glory of God is happening to show up. We may not get out to 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, but the power of God is all over the house. Hallelujah to the living. We're not here to look pretty. We're here to shine. I said we're here to shine. Let's show our world that there's a God that's alive. Hallelujah. Our churches is to have life, power, and the glory of God in them. They should be an unfettered moving of the Spirit. And that unfettered moving of the Spirit is breathtaking. Woo! I said it's breathtaking, that unfettered move of God. I've heard people say, well, you got to take God out of the box. No, God says you're in the box, ma'am. You can't fit me in the box. How do you know? Because my Bible says that the heavens of heavens can't contain him. The Bible says that your earth ain't nothing but my footstool, and I sit on the circle of the earth. What is he saying by that? He said, honey, everything you're going through is beneath me. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
I don't know about you.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
But I'm sick of dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead congregations.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I'm sick of preachers who refuse to define sin. I'm sick of hearing full gospel preachers who tell people it is inevitable that we will sin a little bit every day. I'm sick of preachers who say the day of miracles are in the past. I'm sick of our standards being lowered where immodesty is the standard of our day. I'm sick of it because God is sick of it. Oh, hallelujah. He's sick of all this going on in the name of God. He said, I'm going to vomit it out of my mouth. The only thing that I won't vomit out is that white hot, that glowing red, the power of the Holy Ghost in that heart and in that life. Oh, church, get on fire. Let the power of God search through your heart again.
Church. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. I don't know about you,
thank you.
But I'm excited.
You bet. Oh, yes.
Now listen to me. There are three things that are leading the church astray. Three things leading the church astray. Number one, people.
There you go. That's
it. Yes.
Jesus said, the harvest is white and ready to be harvested. But nowhere in that statement did he say we ought to dilute and water down the gospel to reach them. But today people tell us we've got to change certain ways. Today they say, in a main Pentecostal denomination, I'll leave it nameless, but it's the main denomination. The big guy in charge said to somebody the other day, somebody I know personally, this particular individual was asking this big wig about this particular guy who came, preacher. He had piercings in his eyes, piercing in his ears, tattoos. I mean, it was just... And he'd done this all while he was saved. Right. So this preacher said, what is... Well, then the big wig said, well, we've got to do that in order to reach that kind of people.
No.
Hogwash.
No, we don't.
We don't change for them.
That's right. Amen.
If they come, they're going to be coming because Jesus Christ is God.
That's right.
The Bible said on the day of Pentecost... There were 13 different nations there. There was people from Cappadocia, from different nations. There's 13 nations there.
Right.
And the Bible said when the Holy Ghost fell, the disciples spoke the word of God with languages that everybody in those 13 different languages understood what they were saying. The disciples never adapted to their culture to win them. They just spoke the language of the Spirit. And the language of the Spirit is the language of every culture. We don't have to, amen, lower our standards to reach some person. Just show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. Show them Jesus.
Right. That's right.
But today we got people leading the church astray.
Come on.
The second thing that's leading the church astray is money.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead. Yes. You don't get this kind of preaching on TBN, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Glory!
Yes.
I believe every person in America, every church in America, ought to hear what we're preaching in Pierstown, yes. USA. I feel raptured tonight in my soul.
Yes, Jesus.
Woo! Glory! Woo! I kind of feel like old For I was saying to thee, my people, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Keep your head up and your feet moving. Do not sink too deep into the soil of this earth. I am coming back for a pilgrim people. I am coming back for a people whose heart is wide open, whose heart is on fire. Look up this night, saith God. I am coming. I am coming sooner than what you think. Get your heart right. Get your heart pure, for I am coming for you, saith God. Come on, lift up your hands. Jesus! Jesus! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! This altar's open right now. If you need this altar, you run up here right now. Come on, if you need this altar, come on. Right now, the Holy Ghost is reaching out. I believe, hey, amen, we ought to empty our pews right now and find this altar. There's people right now that need to be welded out to God. The power of God has come. The anointing of God has come. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus! Jesus! Come on, church! Cry out to him tonight! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!